One of those partners is Hawaii Health and Harm Reduction Center, H3RC. They are a key street service provider. Executive Director Heather Lusk says when COVID hit, everything changed for people on the street as well. In addition, the first round of prison releases led to emergency needs for shelter and for services.
We were blessed to work with a donor, so we started a program called Cell Connect, specifically for folks that had been released within, you know, the past year, to come and get a free cell phone. And with that came a light touch navigation, where every 2 weeks or so, my folks would check in just to see if they needed any help getting connected to housing or to medical care or other resources. We ordered 200 and we're almost out already. And we found really that folks that were already having a hard time connecting to resources had that much harder, given so many things were closed because of COVID or had gone online or had shortened or changed the way you access them. So, yeah, we're really grateful that this donor came forward and specifically wanted these resources to be supporting a cell phone connect program. You know, a lot of the Department of Human Services has made things easier online, and people really can connect to most of the benefits and services they need, whether it's their probation officer, whether it's signing up, all through a smartphone these days.
Thanks for pointing that out, Heather. So what happens to people? I mean, where do they stay? Do their families want them to come back from OCCC and stay at their house?
Yeah, you know, what we've seen is that some folks are blessed to actually have where they can have a room where they can quarantine in place if they don't know their status. But we also have a lot of folks that have multi-generational homes and it's just not been an option for them. I know there's a lot of providers trying to scramble because most of our shelters are full. And as you mentioned, some people's families are worried. We are looking at things like hotels. Can we put people there? We have a couple units coming online in a couple of weeks. So do others. But I'll be honest, knowing it's never going to be enough to meet the demand.
Heather, the eviction moratorium's on until August 31st, but that 600 plus upended.
Yeah. When I look at the daily vacancies across our continuum, which, by the way, we do collect them every day, they're centralized at Partners in Care's website. There's only a few beds in all of our shelters island-wide. So that's why I know the health department's working with the city and county to really up their hotel rooms. There's a couple of hotels that should be coming online soon. I'm aware of four right now that the Department of Health uses, and they're trying to get more rooms, both for people that may need to quarantine until they get their negative test result or they hit that 14 days, but even more so for all these folks that are positive and have nowhere to go, especially for these folks, as I mentioned, that have been in multi-generational homes or houseless and really need to have a place to stay. We're currently full at the TQIC.
Right, the Temporary Quarantine and Isolation Center.
That's why the health department's actively trying to get more places online.
And what are you seeing on the street around the TQIC there in the Ivilei area?
Word travels fast, so people are really aware of the clusters at both OCCC and at Sumner. Last Friday, a big coordinated effort of outreach providers, including H3RC, went out to try to find folks that might have stayed at Sumner in the past to encourage them to get testing. So we really are trying to get folks tested that might have been either exposed, whether it's OCCC or in any congregate setting. But at the same time, people are scared. Some were afraid to go back to IHS to get tested because that's where they heard the outbreak was, right? So one thing we're really seeing, Noe, is that the CARES line, the 832-3100, that has been coordinated now, not just for the crisis line, but now it's also the access to substance use line. And they're also taking some of the COVID calls to help triage when folks might need a higher level of care. So I think within the next week, we'll really see that resource come online.
Right now, for prisoners who are going to be released, what kind of assistance is there?
Yeah. So for women, we're really lucky to have Fernhurst, the YWCA. You may have heard it almost closed earlier this summer, but due to community support, is back open. That is the only kind of formal reentry housing program that we have. We have lots of wonderful faith-based communities doing things, clean and sober, and substance use treatment doing things to try to connect with people when they come out. But we need a more robust, coordinated reentry system. So the HUWI I'm part of is we're trying to kind of braid together what's out there. If you go to hhrc.org/reentry, we tried to put some resources there for somebody who may be reentering our community, just some basic ones like how do you get health care? What if you need housing? Just to try to help people connect because there's not a formal reentry system.
I don't know the process of, forget reentry, I don't even know the process of exiting.
Gosh, well, because my understanding is it's really fragmented, Noe. So for example, if somebody is on probation, then then it would be judiciary and the probation officers have that connection. And then if they are paroled, then that's going to be the Hawaii Paroling Authority, which is kind of under PSD, whereas judiciary is at the state, right? And then if you're talking about somebody who is released from OCCC because of something like encrowding, and you know, then that is actually, you know, public safety. So I agree with you. When I try to do a, I try to do a graphic myself, Noe, because I was trying to, I have a degree in criminal justice, by the way. So I was like, oh, I can figure this out. Oh my gosh, it's so confusing, because it's sometimes they're at the city level, right? Sometimes they're at the state level. Sometimes they're at the judiciary. Sometimes they're at the paroling authority. So it all depends on why they're being released and the mechanism through which they got released. Again, if they term out, then the public defender might be involved. If you figure it out, I would love to hear, because I myself am still trying to figure out.
And so people could conceivably just walk out of there without a place to stay?
Yes. Depending again on which track or pathway they're getting released on.
Tell me, what is available now that IHS Men's Shelter is closed?
They are still using the Sumner as an isolating and quarantine center. So far, we have been able to, at least every homeless person that we're aware of with COVID, we've been able to offer an alternative to the street. The challenge is that we know there's many more, you know, that either don't know their status or we haven't been able to test yet. And how do we get to them so that we can stop this community spread? And that includes folks that might be coming out that don't have a place to land. I know that they're trying to expand the post, more hotel are coming online, but even then we still need to do a medical triage, because we're finding, Noe, that some of these folks that have COVID, they may seem okay the first couple of days, but we see around day 5 to 8, folks can get really sick and can turn very quickly.
You're running against that same thing of needing to test more and get results faster.
We are. Yeah, we are. And we're really lucky that, you know, our state lab is turning around test results in 12 to 24 hours. But their capacity is also severely limited as well. And we're grateful to our partners at our private labs who are working hard to try to get turnaround times. I don't know if you've been tested for COVID. No, I have. And it's a very scary few days as you're waiting to know what your test results are. And not only that, we're supposed to treat everybody as if they have it. So the quicker we get test results, it really does help the whole system. We're looking at how can we help outreach workers and others learn some basics of contact tracing so that we can continue to help the Department of Health and quickly identifying when we find someone who's positive, who else around them should get tested so that we can try to stop that community spread.
Are you feeling like there are the resources necessary right now to do the testing and get the results quickly enough?
We're getting there. We're really grateful to Project Vision. They got a contract with the city to integrate testing into their mobile unit. They've been fantastic, but we still need more mobile or responsive. You know, you can imagine, so we find out somebody is COVID positive, we find out that there's people around them, how can we in that moment bring testing to those folks so that they don't go back into their community? You know, it's kind of stopping it right there, what I call testing on demand. So we're moving towards that to get a system where we would be able to hopefully provide testing on demand, or at least tell them where to go on demand. But these are scary times. The more we can bring services to people, we're finding they're more effective. And I think that makes sense all around.
Mm-hmm. Experienced voice of Heather Lusk, head of H3RC, the Hawaii Health and Harm Reduction Center. I did speak with Dara Kalhane of Project Vision. They're doing mobile COVID testing for unsheltered all over this island. Ms. Kalhane says they have not found any positive cases on the street thus far.